Today, Transfiguration Sunday, we follow Jesus up an unnamed mountain. It's a high mountain, we're told, probably Mount Hermon at 9,000 feet above sea level, so scaling it isn't all that easy. Only Peter, James, and John go with him. The rest stay below. They go to get away from it all, at least for a while. You see, they too have come to a crisis point in their life and in their ministry. Things haven't been going well, and they're feeling a lot of pressure. Religious and political groups have been leaning on them pretty heavily because Jesus's teachings are ruffling a lot of feathers, and Jesus knows it will only get worse. He's tried to get through to them that God's saving work can happen only through sacrifice. He's done his best to make them understand that he himself will be that sacrifice, and to make matters worse, that they too will become part of that sacrifice. If any want to become my followers, he's told them loudly and clearly, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. He's done his best to prepare them for the inevitable, but, well, he knows that they can't endure it without something extra. He's going, plainly said, to be murdered, to be crucified. And he knows they need strengthening for the dreadful time that will come. He knows, in essence, they need to see beyond the surface of things, to get at least a little glimpse of the reality the way it really is, and not simply the way it appears to them to be. Because you see, they are just like us. Reality, the present, and especially the future, looks pretty scary and bleak. Jesus declares he is going to die, and they know well what death is. From their perspective, there's little reason to hope. Life is followed by death and decay. And Jesus knows he has to show them the deeper truth of God. He takes these three close friends high up on the mountain, out of what is increasingly feeling like a valley of the shadow of death. Can you relate to that? He takes them up, far away from the noise and confusion, the hassles and the problems, far away from CNN and all news media. There they are in the quiet of the night, there on the mountaintop where God is somehow closer to them. And then it happens. And what happens will forever defy human description. I think maybe the gospel according to Matthew says it best, though still inadequately as words will always be. And he was transfigured before them, it says, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Good old Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary, the carpenter, the charismatic teacher, leader, is literally encompassed by light. The appearance of his face, like that of Moses before him, is transformed, and his clothes radiate the brilliance of a million suns. Jesus is being revealed as who he really is. He's not just the man from Nazareth. He is the revealed face of God. In this mind-boggling transformation, a tiny corner of what I will call the veil that obscures the heavenly from the earthly is being lifted as God gives these three good friends new eyes to see what's always been true beneath outward appearances. To see what has always been true beneath outward appearances. They're afforded a once and forever chance to expand their vision, clear eyes to see life where before seemed only death. And that's why this holy day of Jesus' transfiguration is so very, very essential for us, for you and me and Ukraine and all justice and peace-loving human beings. Jesus's revelation as the Holy One within us echoes the resurrection in importance because it gives us a glimpse of the supreme, deeper truth. And if I could put that before you, it would be in dark, bold-faced words, deeper truth. A truth which the world often obscures from our eyes and from our experience. These three disciples witness what we'll all fully experience only at our death. Not only does the transfiguration reveal the truth of Jesus's identity, it reveals our own reality and the future promised us by God. Life is hard and getting scarier by the minute. When we walk through cancer hospitals and see suffering ones waiting for yet another round of chemo, when we see media images of homeless, malnourished, and starving children, or watch bombs dropping on schools and hospitals, when we walk through nursing homes and see once accomplished patients staring stupefied into space, when we gather at funerals or memorials to bury the dead, or to stand by helplessly and watch a loved one suffer, when we watch media and listen to news, we need to return to the reality of the transfiguration and its truth that is so easy for us to miss. In the transfigured Jesus, God proclaims to us, I show you the splendor that is both you and the future I promise. Life abundant, as Jesus assures you. This holy day is a kind of window. Even more important than the stained glass windows and beautiful visibilities that we have here at St. John's, it's a window that exposes your and my and every human being's and creation's ultimate and true selves. We are each of us a tiny flame, tiny but mighty flame of the universal reality, who is life, being, love, justice, mercy, God's very self. Jesus had our flesh, Jesus had our blood, and we, like Jesus, have his holiness in our very bones. St. Paul himself asks in 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you?" Jesus' transfiguration unveils the divine within us and within creation itself. A holiness often, if not usually, obscured by life's messiness and our own self-disregard. But we are, each one of us, and every being upon this planet, a tiny flame of God, beings both little and great, with frail flesh, yet divine humanity. Perhaps my favorite author, it's hard to narrow it down, but I think my favorite author of all time is Benedictine sister Macrina Weidecker. And I say that because she sees beneath the surface of life to that deeper truth within. Truth proclaimed by the Transfiguration itself. In a book that I highly recommend you get for yourself, a little paperback called A Tree Full of Angels, she knowingly writes what I'm going to read to you. "We are offspring of the one who said, 'I am what I am.' Our little I am is important to the great I am. We are on our way to greatness." This is a truth that faithful religion, true religion of any kind, should proclaim writ large. What the gospel itself says over and over and over again, what each of us should have been told and experienced from our birth, and again, and again, and I say again. Macrina Weidecker grieves, as I do, at most religions' stress on sin and its dismissal of our own and creation's original blessing and goodness, our original union with God. More and more I grieve this, the grayer and the older I get. But this holy day of Transfiguration, if we are able to glimpse it, shows us depths, a truth I urge you to trust. I want to close now with a little piece of a poem by Sister Weidecker, a writing that embraces both Jesus and Holy Scripture and life and us all at once. This is about you. O frail and glorious creature, whoever you are, cherish this truth. There are hints of glory in your being, seeds of splendor, traces of holiness. To be divinized is your destiny. Your original union with God yearns for a place in your life. Walk gently then with your frailty, I could add, with your fear and your anxiety and all those things that blind us from the truth. Walk gently then, she says, with your frailty and allow it to bless you. It will not cripple you unless you run from it. Embrace it instead. Carry it as one carries the cherished secret of a great wealth, hidden away in a holy, eternal space, like a treasure hidden in a field. Oh, frail and glorious creature, from the crib to the grave, to the cross, is to be divinized. That is your destiny. The heavens have heard whispers of your splendor, and God still weeps with joy at your birth. Amen.